Let's look at some stuff first. My job and your job is to know, my job is to present unto you the full counsel of God. Your job is to receive the full counsel of God, not what you may segment. The only knowledge that we have about the full counsel of God is not private revelation. Understand? Nobody cares. I don't care. I don't care about my own private revelation. The only knowledge that we have about the full counsel of God is not even the New Testament. Jesus said, Paul said, all of them said, the only knowledge we have about the full counsel of God is Torah. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14. Well, let's go up first. We can go up in verse. Let's look at the whole chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In the word silly women there, it's a ancient, how can I say it? It's the way the ancient Jews targumed uncovered women. Somebody uncovered, huh?
It's a manner of speech.
It's a manner of speech. Doesn't mean like silly. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you understand what that means? The knowledge of the truth is that it's finished. And life exists as you know it in your world to test whether or not you know that. And unfortunately for you, I exist in your world to test whether or not you know that. It's finished. Otherwise, you're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
You know, it's so weird that so many of these scriptures I've never seen, and it's just mind-boggling.
They've been in here all the time.
I know, it's like, well, that's new, I've never seen this one.
I've never heard
Torah. That's a pretty wild one, isn't it?
It is.
Now as Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist truth.
Who are these guys that forgot?
They're the two guys that resisted Moses in Pharaoh's court. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. Now, reprobate, you remember what it means? It means incapable of repentance. They're capable of regret, but incapable of repentance. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which come unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, at persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now, do you understand, at this time, the only scriptures that existed, the only thing the Jews call scripture, was what?
Exodus.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's scripture.
The Big Five.
Now, here's where we come to now. The prophets and the ancient rabbis said, that the only reason Israel was given the prophets and the writings was because of their rebellion. The only reason we were given the New Testament, the Old Testament, the Genesis testifies more of Christ than the Gospels do. Leviticus testifies more of Jesus Christ than every Baptist church in America. Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, is the schematic drawing of Jesus Christ. If you were a savage, since you are savages, if you were a savage and someone brought to you the schematic drawing for a nuclear power plant, you would say, oh my God, that's dumb. That's nothing. That's nothing. That means nothing. Let's burn it. But if, on the other hand, if you were aware of that nuclear power plant, depended on it for energy, and were intimately familiar with it, close personal friends, then if you saw the schematic diagram, you'd appreciate it and understand it. The same is true with Christ. If you have an awareness for the real Christ of history and the real Christ of God, not your imagined Christ, then you will have a hunger to know him as outlined and as shown us in the book of Leviticus. Understand me? Primarily Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's incredible. It's the most list. It's the least read books of the Bible. All right, but here's why: all Scripture, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That, or in order that, the man of God may be perfect. The word perfect there is the Greek word teleos. It means fully tested. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's profitable for correction, for reproof. You hear me? Now let's go to Psalm 119. Well, let's go on. Stay there in 2 Timothy. I charge that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom, preach the word. It says, and again, in Greek, it's much more strong. It says, preach only the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, whether you feel like it or not. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Now what it says, better translation is as follows. After their own desires they shall heap to themselves numerous teachers that cause relief to their itching ears. In other words, they tell them what they want. Come over here, scratch this. And they shall turn away their ear from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch all thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. A full proof of the ministry is the only one, is unfeigned love of the brethren. In order for there to be the end of the commandment is unfeigned love. In order for there to be in order for unfeigned love to have an opportunity, there has to be brethren. You can't have unfeignedness with people you see once a week. In order to have unfeigned, in order to have the end of the commandment, you have to have community. You may not like community. I certainly don't. Didn't. Hated it. Worst thing in my mind, the worst thing I could ever agree, all right. Dumbest thing ever invented. I want to live way up, high, high, way high, high, so I don't have to look at anything I don't want to look at. man, around here I have to. Somebody's always coming to my door, beating on the door with gum.
Your back door.
Back door. Ed came to the back door today with some stupid problem.
He beat up on you, did he?
No, it's a garage that came to the back door.
And he's a back door.
It's great.
But it was a sincere question.
Yeah.
It was a what?
Do you understand? Nobody, no flesh likes community if they're honest. Why? Because it costs you. It's a real pain. But all spirit loves it. Yeah. All right. Psalm 119.
Which one?
119.
Sure,
119.
Would you read it,
Rex? From the beginning.
From the beginning, Psalm 119. Okay, I wanna read something to you for a minute before we do that. This is good. Secret Talmud stuff. The purpose of studying the offerings is to give you a sense of apprehension, a sense of destiny. And this is what the Talmud says about one who understands the offerings. Okay? On one occasion, a woman who had given birth at night said to her son, she said to her son, she, woman gave birth at night, she
just
sang,
wait.
Huh?
I'm saying to Jarvis, wait, you'll hear the story anymore.
I don't need your help to tell him to wait.
Yeah. He kept going.
On one occasion, a woman who had given birth at night said to her son, go light a lamp so that I may cut your umbilical cord. He went to light the lamp when a demon, the prince of the evil spirits, attacked him. While they were engaged in battle, the rooster crowed, and said the demon to him, go announce to your mother that had not the cock crowed, I would have killed you. Said the boy to the demon, you go and announce to your mother's mother that my mother has not yet cut my cord, for if my mother had already cut my cord, I would have destroyed both you and her.
Well, let's think about that for a while.
There must be some meaning in this.
The umbilical cord is the understanding. This is the mother. And the umbilical cord is the understanding of the book of Leviticus, of the offerings. If you can understand the offerings, the fear of you and the dread of you is on every creature. Can you hear that?
I believe that.
If you understand the offerings, the fear of you and the dread of you is on every creature, because the offerings cause you to be able to face every possible situation in life or death. Now, let's go to Matthew 13. Stay in 119. Some of you stay in 119. Somebody else go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Start in verse. Who's got it? Read 34.
13:34?
Yeah.
All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. More?
Mm-hmm.
That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Okay. If you look at the scriptures, what Jesus did is to utter those things about these offerings that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. If you look at the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Numbers, but primarily Leviticus, it's the anchor one. If you understand Leviticus, you'll understand everything. That's all he did. If I can show you that Christ never opened his mouth outside of the book of Leviticus as a reference point. The Jews, at the time of Christ and for 400 years before that, from the time at 7 years old, they begin the study of Leviticus. At 12, they had to have it memorized. And then when they understood its implications, that the rabbi declared them to be a child of the law, or their bar mitzvah, or their beth mitzvah. It was not a ceremony that was dependent on age. It was a ceremony that was dependent on the understanding of the book of Leviticus, which is incredible. Now, the reason the book of Leviticus is so important is because without it, there can be no understanding of sin. And without knowledge of sin, there's innocence. That's why Christ could not be guilty of sin legally until he had reached the age of accountability. You understand me? A rabbi had to declare that Christ was a child of the law. When that happened, when that declaration occurred, it was when that rabbi understood that he understood Leviticus. That's what Christ was doing in the temple. When he was 12 years old, they took him to a temple service on a Passover that he might be tested in terms of his knowledge of the book of Leviticus. And he amazed the scholars. I'll bet you $100 his rabbi was with him. It's rumored that Paul and Christ and several others stayed there in the academy, in the temple, to be taught by Gamaliel and Hillel, the two greatest rabbis that have ever been. And that Paul would have been for a time in the same academy with Christ. We know what happened with Paul, and Paul was a graduate of the academy. He became famous as a man who could argue all sides of the question, could win all sides of the debate. And there was a young man named Stephen who beat Paul in a debate. And Paul, at the sentence of blasphemy, the Sanhedrin sentenced, or accused and then sentenced Stephen of blasphemy, he was stoned, as according to the law. And Paul, after losing the debate to him, was holding his cloak while they stoned Stephen, the one who he just lost the debate to, an uneducated idiot from Galilee.
Holding Stephen's cloak.
He was holding Stephen's cloak, is what the scriptures say.
So they stabbed Stephen just because he beat Paul?
But it was more than that. He also blasphemed according to their understanding.
That's the speech that's in Acts.
Acts, book of Acts 7. Now, that's the seventh chapter of the book of Acts. Now, what happened next is Paul is then commissioned to go throughout Judea and destroy these heretics. On his way, and he's been doing this anyway, but now it's gotten worse because they're really blasphemous now, this new sect. Now Paul then, on his way to Damascus, Syria, to wipe out a sect of heretics there with the army, with the temple guard with him, who have full authority, in fact, who have the spear of destiny, that the authority of the Sanhedrin. Paul, on his way to Damascus, just right outside of Damascus, gets zapped by God because he saw the vanity of what he was, had his own thing. want you to hear this. The predicate, even in this uneducated one of Stephen, was that from this very youth he had been trained up in the knowledge of these scriptures. Now, Christ said, spoke nothing but parables. What is a parable? What's the definition of a parable?
A story that means something other than what is obvious.
It's an allegory, basically.
An allegory.
Yeah.
What is an allegory? An allegory, it says, all allegory means it says something else.
Look over there.
Look over there. Don't look at what it says. Don't look at the surface. Look over there. Don't look at the surface. It says something other than what it says. This whole book is called a parable, an allegory, a pattern by Moses. God took Moses up to the mount. He took him on top of that high mountain out of time and showed Moses a parable. And he wrote it. And he built it. It was the temple, the tabernacle in the wilderness. All of it a parable. It says something. All things are parables. All things say something else. Woe unto him who literalizes the parable. That means woe unto him who takes what the first look is and says that's important. There's nothing that you can perceive with your senses that has any merit except as an instrument of a revelator of what it's hiding. Christ spoke in parables. He said, without his parable, he did not speak. Mark's version of that same said that there is that he said, Mark said, all things are in parables, not just the words of Christ. As opposed to natural man. Natural man doesn't understand parables. Natural man operates as a brute beast. And the brute beast's opinion is, what does this mean to me? Now, the beast can't think like that. But fundamentally, that is what he does. You understand? The beast can only be aware of things that are concerned with him. I mean, he's not aware of anything that isn't in his, what does this mean to me? The biggest thing that you now have to get rid of is the idea of, what does this mean to me? How can I use this? If you can get tonight, lay down, what does this mean to me? Then you'll understand. Then he will open your eyes that you might behold wondrous things out of the law. If you look at it only as, how can I get something out of this? How can I understand it? It will be nothing. You will not understand Jack. That's why Christ, they said of Christ in John 7, never hath man spoke like this one. Okay, now go back to Psalm 119. Rex, would you read Psalm 119, verse 17 to verse 40? Now, let me tell you a word about Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is only read when? Huh?
Pouring of the water?
No, that's not it.
Did you hear it?
I know it's not Passover.
She said October 23rd. That's what we're reading.
Get the
stick.
Only read on
Halloween.
Get a rope.
Right.
Now, Psalm 119 is only read on the Fast of Ab.
We were just saying
that. Ah, thank you. Okay. Verse 17.
Deal bountifully now, with thy servant.
No. Notice it says Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, He, Tabao, Zion, Sheath. Those are the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so each of these notice each of them has 8 verses. And if you want to get wild, read what the Zohar says about Psalm 119. I mean, it is like There's a mystery upon mystery upon mystery in every jot and tittle of Psalm 119. It's the most mysterious of all psalms. I'll shut up.
Okay. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live, and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the law.
Okay. Stop a minute and think about that. That's what we pray for. That's what our prayer is now, especially that we're getting into the offerings. Open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things. Wonder. That's what we want. We want to regain that sense of wonder and awe. That's the only place you can get it. You're too jaded for everything else. Amen? Okay.
I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are accursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did speak and did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counsel. Galen, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes.
Remember that a statute. Remember, there's law, there's commandment, and there's statutes. The law, the Torah, is the whole book, Genesis, Exodus, etc. The commandments are the mitzvahs, the that include all of the Talmud. But the statutes are the ones that are fascinating. They're the ones that if you read which ones are the statutes and which aren't, you can no one on the face of the earth can ever complete or do a statute. If you could, it wouldn't be called a statute. So therefore he says, teach me thy statutes, not cause me to obey, because everybody since the beginning has known that statutes always are a mystery. Okay?
Well, it's like, it proceeds that saying, I've declared my ways. I mean, I'm at the end of myself. I know this, now I can do this.
Yeah. Now, also recognize that this psalm was written by the Spirit of Christ in David for Christ after, as he walked in the flesh, now for Christ in you. Doesn't have anything to do with you, with any of us, not Ole, not Harry, not Barbara. It has to do with Christ in us. Amen?
Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul meditate for heaviness.
Melt it,
for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy way.
Go to Psalm 111. I mean, it's like in the Old Testament, the parables are everything. I mean, do you understand that The parables are the tabernacle itself, the offerings, the law, the garments, the holy oil, the perfumes, the jewels. All of these are parables of the Old Testament. Christ spoke parables, but all of the Old Testament is a parable, or are parables. And they show us many, many wonderful mysteries. I mean, like, the world, the religious world, talks about the blood of Christ. And it talks about just the blood as something, and it's the blood that forgives from sin. Well, the forgiveness aspect of blood is one of, it's only one. There are hundreds of deeper and deeper revelations of the meaning of the blood from the Old Testament. These are the parables that God would have us understand and apprehend. The finished work of Christ isn't going to be dependent on whether or not we apprehend these or not, but your joy will be dependent on whether you apprehend them. Your victory in this world, your ability to empty yourself and walk in this world, is dependent on whether you apprehend the parables. And they're not apprehended by intelligence. They're apprehended by emptying. Amen? Okay, Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Now, that's why I beg of you that I want to try to create a hunger that you desire to search these out. That you desire. I mean, these two, this will be for Harry, this will be the fourth time that we've gone over the offerings. Because, huh? For you, it'll be this will be the third. But he went over the fourth because he did the tapes. But they're not, I promise you, because they don't understand them yet. And I don't say I understand them. I mean, every time I study them, I see something new. They're incredible. Okay? Let's go to, let's go to Colossians. No, let's go to Hebrews 8. No, Hebrews 8. If you can find a Colossians 8, it's probably going to be worth a lot of money. In verse 7:21, it says, "For the priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Again, it's the order of Melchizedek is important because it's different than the Aaronic priesthood, Aaron's priesthood. This is another order of priests. By so much was Jesus made a surety, or a down payment of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered or allowed to continue by reason of death. But this one, this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin, and then for the other people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have weaknesses or infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, where it is of necessity that this man have somewhat to offer. For if he were here on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Now, we hear words like shadow and pattern, and we say that means that we can dismiss them. You understand? In Greek, it would mean, those words would say, schematic drawing. It would mean, it would be something that it would point you towards if you wanted to know more about the completed one. I mean, that's just the stupidity of the English language. Let's go to Colossians, I'll show you the same thing. Colossians 2. But it's the pattern. Just verse 17, somebody read it.
Which are a shadow of things to come.
Well, wait a minute, better go to... chapter 2, verse 16.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in the respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ.
Okay. Again, the word shadow there is the word which means a schematic. Means not something that we ignore. We don't use it to judge people. We don't ignore it, though. We go to it if we want more knowledge. Schematic. Okay. Let me read one other thing here, and then we'll get on to it. This is from the Zohar. Remember what the Zohar is? Man looks and sees one thing. The spiritual man looks and sees a never-ending mystery at all things. Woe unto those who see in the Torah nothing but simple narratives and ordinary words. Were this really the case, then could we not even today compose a law equally worthy of admiration? But it is quite otherwise. Every word of Torah contains an elevated sense and a sublime mystery. The narratives of Torah are but the raiment in which it is swathed. Do not mistake the raiment for the reality. Amen? I'll take a big guy.